Good morning, everybody. So I want to go to John chapter 3, go figure. And I want to go a little further than where Sue was at. So we know 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the key there, well, there's lots of keys. God loved. I mean, we can go see other scriptures. Romans 5 is a great example that talks about how he loved us, or he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. So this was not some sort of reciprocal quid pro quo. No, he did it first. He did it first. And it wasn't a love because we deserved it. It wasn't a love because we were worthy. It was just he loved us. Here it talks about he loved the world. That's his creation. He loved it. He wanted it saved. He wanted to see it redeemed. And he made a way for that redemption. He made a way for that redemption that none should perish. None need perish. He made a way. He made a way not based on your worthiness, not based on your works, not based on your looks, thank God, not based on your income or your credit score. He made a way through his very Son, Jesus Christ. I sang that song, "Lift Jesus Higher." Do you know what that's about? It's about him being lifted up on the cross. In the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because the people had sinned and God in his wrath and judgment had sent serpents into the camp and everyone that was bit would die. But if they would look upon that serpent that Moses lifted up, if they would but look on it, they would be saved. And it's no different with Jesus. The way to redemption is right there. Right there. And it's not complicated. It's not tricky. It's, thank God, not like the U.S. tax code, which if you were to sit down to read it, probably could never finish in your life. See, that's man's way. You see, man wants to set up rules and regulations and structure that, frankly, they can't even follow. It's impossible. But God made a very possible way through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Extremely possible. With one of the verses that Sue was talking about over in Luke really draws the contrast of how to make the most of that possibility. Really the only way to make use of it. You see, in order to not be lost, you have to set aside everything of you and put on everything of him. Which in and of itself seems, well, how do I do that? That's impossible. No, I mean, he's commanded us more than a couple times in scriptures to put off the old man and put on the new man. If we've been given that order, then guess what? It's doable. Is it a once thing? No, it's an everyday, all day thing. Because this nature that Sue mentioned is in our heart, in our character, our nature, that carnal man is wickedness continuously. I mean, if your eyes have not been opened to the truth of that, then I pray God open your eyes to that. I pray he open your eyes in such a stark and radical way that it scare the ever-living hell out of you. Because that's what you need. If you don't see the internal depravity and how desperately you need Christ, then I pray right now that the Holy Spirit reach down into your heart, pull it out, and show it to you in a way that you can understand just how evil it is. Because then you will see how desperately you need Jesus. We go on here in John 3, just John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we've seen the passing of two very dear friends, my father and my brother. And God made a way for them to be with him. In this world, they had what they had. But with Jesus, all things are new. All things are restored. All things are hope. All things are the pure love and presence of our Almighty God. You know, I had a man say to me one time, and he is also gone. Where he is, that's between him and God, I cannot say. But he said to me one time, if going to heaven is standing around singing holy, holy, holy all day long, I don't know if I want to go. What an ignorant statement. And I've shared this many times that I did not know how to answer him. I just, taken back to the point of just speechlessness. And if you know me, I don't get speechless terribly that often. But I really prayed. I sort of said, Lord, how do I reach this guy? And the Lord gave me an instance that I had years ago in the tent watching Charlie's dad come to the altar and accept the Lord. And that the presence of God was so thick, so palatable, so amazing, and the mercy of God so right there that you could actually touch it. I never wanted that moment to end, ever. And we were singing songs and praising the Lord and having a hallelujah party. I mean, it was just, the presence of God was so palatable. And if that's a fraction of what it's like to be in heaven, oh yeah, I want to go. Oh yeah, sign me up. You know, verse 16, there's a verse, there's a word that says should not perish, should not perish. You see, because God's made the way, but I have to choose it. You see, I have to choose that way. I have to choose to reject the old man, put off the old man, and put on the new man. That's my choice. If you spent any time with Brother Davey, my father, if you spent any time sitting at his table, it was a clinic of how to draw out self-justification, because he was a master, just a master of it. And why? Was it because he just liked to pick on you? Well, he may get a little fun out of it sometimes, but really, if you don't realize how invested you are in your own will, in your own self-justification, in your own pride, then you never know how much you need to put off. Amen. And it was amazing how with every small question, and the answer was always some sort of self-justification, and you didn't need to do it. It was an amazing thing to watch in myself and others. Just amazing. I mean, just one simple little thing that didn't require, it didn't matter. But there was always that desire for someone to justify themselves. And you see, that's a big red flag. You know, maybe the thing was insignificant, but the root of it that brought out that thing that was quote unquote insignificant, the root is not insignificant. You understand? You know, the sniffle is a symptom of a bigger issue. You deal with the issue, the sniffle goes away. And what he was always trying to do was focus on that root. And it can manifest like a million different ways. And he was happy to help you see each one. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I remember this right at the end. Again, insignificant thing. Dad had come from the restroom and gone back to his table. And I had, I don't know what it was, but I had taken his drink and trash can in and I had not returned it. And he said really kind of gruffly, "Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you get it?" And immediately there were 15 different reasons why. And I just said, "Dad, I have no good answer." And he smiled at me and he said, "That was a good answer." Now I wish every time I got called to the account, that was the result, but man, you know, maybe I got one out of a million right, you know. But it was just an amazing thing to watch. Now, what does that have to do with any of this? Well, you have to submit yourself to that. Amen. If you don't submit yourself to that, you're never going to get it shown to you. You're never going to see it. I want to keep reading here. Verse 17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." See, there's the path. He made a way. And it wasn't, I mean, see, the enemy wants to twist the gospel and make it some sort of negative thing, like, it's my way or the highway. You know, that's how he wants to have the gospel represented to people. And that's not it. You see, you are on the swirly toilet bowl to hell. That's where you're at. You're in this funnel going down. There is no escape. There is no way out except Jesus has thrown his hand down and saying, "Grab my hand. I am the way out." You see, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life, no man cometh to the Father but by me," it wasn't some angry, mean guy saying, "It's my way or the highway." That wasn't it at all. It was, "Guys, you're on a train that's going to crash. Here's my hand. Hop off. I gotcha." That is what Jesus has done. That is what the Father has done through his Son. I mean, Jesus is God, right? Amen. "In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." But God the Father, through his Son, made this way for all of us to be saved. And it wasn't some big condemnation thing. Look, we are all sinners. All of us, every one of us. It didn't discriminate in Genesis where Sue was reading about people's hearts being evil continuously. That's everyone, every man, every woman, every child. Everyone, everyone. One of Brother Davy's things he would use to demonstrate that would be, did you ever have to teach your kid to do wrong? They come out. They got that part down. They got it. The mouthiness, the pride, the rebellion, the selfishness. Those, no problem. They got that covered. You spend all your time, if you love your child, working that out of them through whatever means necessary. And you spend the rest of your time seeking the Lord how to root it out. Because their heart is always thinking evil continuously. So the world was condemned already. You were condemned already. When you were born, you were condemned. Done. But Jesus, God the Father, through his Son Jesus, made a way that through him, you might be saved. Verse 18, it goes on, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, I want you to notice the change. If you go to verse 16, it says, whoso believeth in him should not perish. You see the word in. Now, I want you to go down to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Do you see the difference? One is should, which is a variable, should not perish. There's no excuse for it, no reason for it. But verse 18 changes to an absolute, and it changes to an absolute because of the word on. He that believeth on him is not condemned. See, to believe on Jesus is to believe Jesus. There's a big difference in believing in something, its existence, maybe even it's a decent thing to do. But just to believe a thing is going to look very different in your life. See, if you truly believe Jesus, then you are going to accept the fact that your heart is the imagination of your heart is only evil continuously. You're going to accept the fact that you desperately need salvation through his blood. You're going to accept the fact that his grace is sufficient. You're going to accept the fact that his love is sufficient for you. And you're going to receive it, and then you're going to walk it. Because he says, the love that I gave to you, go give out elsewise. You're going to take that, all of that truth that you have gained, and know that it, and believe in its sufficiency for you, and you're going to desperately want other people to have that same truth. And your life is going to reflect that. It's not a, I do it, therefore I believe it. No. You believe it, and the fruit of that belief is you will do it. What makes my lemon tree a lemon tree? Do I wait and see the fruit on it and say, oh, the lemons make the lemon tree? No, the tree makes the lemons. If I go out there and it starts sprouting out grapefruit, I know it's not a lemon tree. The tree makes the fruit. And your belief, the truth of what you believe, is going to bear fruit, or going to bear its own fruit. And if you believe that you're basically a good person, your life's going to demonstrate that. It's going to demonstrate that through pride and selfishness and arrogance and justification, self-righteousness. But if you believe Jesus, the fruit is going to be love and all the attributes thereof. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Because why? Their deeds were evil. That's exactly what Sue was reading back in Genesis. Their deeds, their heart was evil. Why do people reject Jesus? Because they're evil. They don't want the light. They don't want to change. They don't want it. Why were people oftentimes terrified to hang out with Davy? Because their deeds were evil, and they didn't want the light shed on them. They didn't want the truth brought to them. They didn't want to have to change. They did not want to accept the fact that they were wrong. They didn't want that constantly put in their face. I didn't want it constantly put in my face. Why? Because my deeds were evil. But if that's where you stay, you're not believing on Jesus. Oh, you may believe in him, but you don't believe him. See, that's the harsh reality that you really need to come to grips with. You really need to come to grips with, do I believe in or do I believe? Do I believe in Jesus or do I believe Jesus? And then you could look at your life. You look at your life and say, do you want to fellowship with one another? Do you want to fellowship with believers? Do you want to enter into discipleship? Do you want to do you desire to lay your life out before your authority so that it can be adjusted and fixed and oriented correctly? Is that your desire? Because if it's not your desire, then your deeds are yet evil. And you don't believe Jesus. Oh, you may believe in. You may have a religiousness about you. You may say all the right things. You may all kinds of things to justify why you don't need to. But guess what? You need to. You need to. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Do you hate fellowshipping one with another because you just don't want to get jumped on? Maybe you like fellowshipping with people that are of like mind. You know, you sort of can commiserate one with another. Now, that's not the right thing to do either. Are you happy to sit down in that table with your authority? And are you willing to let the correction come? The only thing that it really hurts is your pride. The only thing that it really hurts is your carnal man, which needs to die anyway. Amen. Needs to go. Because that keeps you separated from God. Amen. That keeps you apart from him. That guy does you no good. We can look over to Romans. We can see what Paul thought of it. Oh God, who can separate me from this body of death? That's what Paul thought of it. What do you think about your flesh? What do you think about your carnal man? Do you still sit in a place of justification? Do you still sit in a place of, well, they just don't understand? Or, well, that doesn't apply? Or where do you sit? If you're sitting in that place of justification and you're getting angrier and angrier, more frustrated, and the words are, oh, just doesn't understand. If that's where you're at, let me tell you, you're listening to the wrong voice, man. That's the wrong guy to listen to. See, that's the guy that wants to drag you to hell. That's the guy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's not just death in the physical sense, but he steals your joy. Destroys relationships. Breeds resentment and contention. That's that guy. That's the guy we're told to put off. Told to put that off. 20 again, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Doesn't want to come to that place of where he may have to repent. He may have to have that stuff flayed open and may have to realize that everything he's done. Naomi, put that stuff down, get up in the chair, and do not move again. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? I didn't hear you. I apologize for that. Neither cometh to the light. You see, there's a scripture over in Hebrews that talks about forsaking assembly. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm going to read it here in a minute, Sue. We'll get to that in a moment. You see, there's a part of coming to the light to have, that is to come, you know, to the light of God's word. That could be reading your word. That needs to be discipleship for sure. I mean, the Lord has this perfectly set up way, but if you don't make use of it, you going to hell isn't going to be his fault. It's all going to be yours. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And there it is, right there. If you're not coming to the light, if you don't want to fellowship with those of like faith in a positive way, not fellowship with those that continue to let you justify yourself. See, that's not where you want to be. See, that's fellowshipping with darkness. You understand? The fellowship you want is the fellowship that brings you to the light, not justifies you where you are. So come to the light. Receive what it's showing you. Let it crucify the flesh. Let it help you put off that old man. Let it identify those things in your heart and in your life that are running you contrary to God. Receive it. You're not gonna have some sort of, you know, I don't know how to say it. You're not gonna negotiate with God on things. I mean, it's his, I mean, he's made a way. That is the way. There's, you know, you're not gonna carry this extra baggage with you. It's not gonna work. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, the man or woman that wants to have that profitable walk with the Lord, that wants to have that true relationship with the Lord, that wants to be in his will and doing his will, is going to come to the light. They're going to come to the light. They're going to receive that correction. They're going to crave it, really. And that may sound counterintuitive, but, and Lord knows I've had my struggles with it. But I've been here long enough to know, much like the disciples when Jesus ran off the 3,000, and he turned to them and said, "You going to go too?" What'd they say? Do you remember? "Where else am I going to go? For you alone have the words of eternal life." If you believe that, then gosh, just stop fighting. Just stop. Just surrender. Get on your knees and just surrender. Say, "Lord, I give up. I give up. I know I can't do it my way and your way. I know that doesn't work. Lord, I give up. It's your way. It's just your way from now on, Lord. And if I start straying, Father, please help me get back on the path as quick as possible." And that's where it starts. It starts at that repentance, recognition that, yeah, I'm wrong. I am 1,000% wrong, and there is nothing right in me. There is no justification. There is no space where I have been right. I have always only ever been wrong. And God, you have always ever been right. You know, the Bible says that blood, that grace, that repentance, it just blots out the handwriting of ordinances against us. They're gone. They're gone. I've needed a clean slate so many times in my life, I can't even count. And every time, every single time, I'm willing to say, "God, I am wrong and you are right." Every single time, without reservation, his love, his mercy, his grace is always immediately there. Instantly. Instantly there. To just whoosh, gone. And that frustration and that anger and that resentment and that warring in my heart against God is gone. Gone. To live in a place of bitterness is such an unnecessary thing. when God has made a way of immediate deliverance. Immediate. Without purgatory, without beating yourself, without any of it. It's just immediate. Immediate. See, he already took the beating. He already took the stripes. He already took the nails. He already took hanging on the cross. He already took it. You couldn't stand it. You couldn't do it. And if you did, it wouldn't be worth anything. Because it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And he was that perfect sacrifice. And he is sufficient. Everything he did was more than sufficient for you. Instant, 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 instant. I can't stress that enough. But instant freedom through repentance. But you have to say, you have to come to the place, and not just with lips, not just with your words, you have to come to the place that in your heart you acknowledge and accept, I am wrong. Without that, it doesn't work. There is no repentance. I mean, you only ask for grace and mercy when you acknowledge you're guilty, you see? If you don't accept your guilt, then there is no grace. There is no mercy because you're just going through the motions. And that doesn't work. Let me see if I can go to this other verse here. Okay, so I'm going to try and read this quickly. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The ministration we have one to another is to help one another maintain that commitment. Provoke one another to love and good works. Sometimes we're not going to like it. Provoking is that sort of poking thing. And when it happens, you can choose to walk off in pride, or you can choose to say, oh yeah, I see what's happening here. Thank you, Lord. And receive it. Verse 15. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, verse 25, I apologize. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see that assembling together, that coming together, it's not just optional. So you can't be in the vine if you're separate from the vine. You have to be part of the vine. You do. You just have to be. And you can't do that by yourself. You're not your own vine. You're a branch on a vine, hopefully. There's a great safety, a tremendous safety for your walk with the Lord if you allow yourself and make time to have that fellowship one with another, with those that you know are going to challenge you, with those that you know are going to challenge your faith, and not in a bad way, but in a good way, that are going to strengthen you, that are not going to give you a way out, that are not going to let you justify yourself, that are not going to give you, sort of placate you and make you feel good about your sin and your self-justification and your pride and your arrogance. See, that's, you don't need that. What you need, what we all need, is that true fellowship with those that will always point us to the light, even when we don't like it. And if you steel yourself to that goal, then you're on the right path. You may not have made it yet, but you're on the right path. Amen.